Amen. Please take your Bible then. Turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. I know I've been in the book of the Galatians for some time now, but this is a day of deacon ordination. And so we've set Matt aside for a long time because of COVID. We usually do that for a year, but it's been almost over 2 years. And so I'm going to preach a little bit on deacons, recognizing some of the responsibilities and some reason for picking them. And so Acts chapter 6 really is a good place to jump in. I think when we did the ordination selection, I preached out of 1 Timothy, really the qualifications. And so we really hammered that strong back in those days. And so I really want to just kind of show you some ideas about behind the deacon and what he's supposed to do and what he did originally. So here's what the Bible says, Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Just want to read a few verses here. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of the holy, man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Father, we come before you. We say thank you, Lord, for this day that you made, that we may simply lift our hands and our hearts toward you, that we may receive those things that you have given us through your word. And Lord, I pray today that you would convict us and move us, that we may be people that truly honor you. Lord, help us to draw from this passage about what those deacons did and what they were there for. And help us to be all servants of yours in that same sense, that we may be men and women of integrity, that we may live a life that others would recognize you and that they would be drawn close to your side. Lord, I pray for our church today that we would be mindful of all these things. I pray that we would do these things that would honor you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. We say all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I guess because of the deacon ordination just been on my mind, I had a dream the other night about me and Matt and one of our chairman of deacons, which is Dennis Dowling. And so we were in a boat fishing together, and all of a sudden, lightning struck us, and we were immediately rushed because it killed us into the presence of the Lord. And there we were standing at the pearly gates. And the Lord came to us and said, well, we want to try something new these days. We're trying to let people in by a different way. Here's what we're going to do. We got this 100-yard mud pit, and we want you to walk through this mud pit. And the deeper you get, the worse your sins were. And if you don't make it, if you just go under, then there's no help for you. And so I was worried about to the other two guys. So I said, Lord, I'll go first. And I started going. I got deeper and deeper. But right at the edge, when my nose was barely sticking out, I caught the edge. I said, whoo, I made it. I said, thank you, Lord. But then my mind reminded me of Matt and Dennis. I said, Fearfully, I turned around, and to my surprise, there Matt is, only knee-deep. I said, Lord, I didn't recognize Matt was so good. He said, well, he's not. He's on Dennis's shoulders. Now, we laugh at that because we expect men of deacons and preachers to be men of integrity, of honest report, and good guys. And so I think we need to recognize that the early church recognized that people in leadership especially should be people that truly honor the Lord, because leadership really defines who you are. Everything rises and falls on leadership. They understood that, and so what must we? We truly need people in leadership positions as deacons and pastors and Sunday school teachers in every position to be people that truly love the Lord. And so today, as we ordain Matt, we need to recognize some things that this early church recognized to do. And we need to do the same things. And so notice some things in this passage that really speak about those first guys that were called deacons. I know they're not named deacons in this passage, but we'll see how I believe that I think they are. Here's the first thing. We need to see the reason for the deacons. The reason for the deacons. If you read verse 1 again, it says, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, notice this, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. And so we find that the church is really growing. I'm telling you, if you read Acts chapter 2 by verse 41, man, they were preaching the word and 3,000 people get saved in one day. And then you read Acts chapter 4, man, they were preaching the word and 5,000 people get saved. Man, just a multitude of people. The church is really growing, and that is a good thing. The more people that's added to the church, the more ministry you can do, the more things that can be accomplished for the Lord. And so I'm telling you, five or ten guys can do much more than five guys. And so the church was multiplying, which is great. But with people comes problems. It's kind of like a big family. You know, when it's just you and mama there, things are pretty good. But then you had the first kid and the second kid and the third kid. Just, can you imagine if you had 10 kids? Can you see? That's good, but you know there's going to be some problems with that many people in one household. So it is with the church, as it's always been. There have always been problems in the church because of people being added. And I'm telling you, there's great news, because notice what the deacons were given for. First, the deacons are used to solidify the church, to solidify or unite the church. If you remember, there's always been problems around the church. If you go back to Acts chapter 4, there was persecution. The outside was coming against them. If you go to Acts chapter 5, there was corruption. Ananias and Sapphira, they were not giving like the right way. And so it had a chance to split the church. But now in chapter 6, there is a division or a dissension in the church. And I'm telling you, when you have problems from the inside, there's a greater chance of things going terribly wrong. And so the deacons were to solidify the church. They were called out and used to do that. They become the solutions to the problem and not the problem itself. Let me just say that again. They will be the solution to the problem and not the problem itself. I'm telling you, there are many times in many churches, leadership can cause a problem. I don't care if you're a deacon or a preacher or whoever you are. If you're in leadership position, if you're not careful, you can be the problem. I heard about a ship named the Columbus Isle. It was a research ship. They were in the Florida Keys trying to do some research how to save this particular reef. Ironically, they ran up on the reef itself, and it cut a huge hole in the boat itself. And hundreds of gallons of diesel fuel began to run into the ocean, and it damaged the very reef they were studying to protect. I'm telling you today, if we're not careful, we'll let people in the pew, in leadership positions, cause problems that should not be caused. These deacons were the solutions to the problem, not the problem itself. And so we should recognize how they are called to be that exact thing. So deacons are to solidify the church. Secondly, deacons are to serve. Notice again verse 2. All these problems going on. It says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, two words. One, business, is kreisa in the Greek there. It means something that is necessary or needful. Don't think this is a minuscule task. It is not. Anything that is needful in the church is something important to God. And so this business of serving was very important. You may not think so. Sometimes we have all kind of things we do in church. You say, that's not a big deal. Somebody will do that. And I'm telling you, everything is important when it comes to doing church as it should be. So he says, appoint over this business, this needful thing. But then it says, and serve tables. That word serve is diakoneo. It's the same word we get diakonos from. That's the same word we get deacon from. By the way, the very basic meaning of diakonos or deacon is the one that stirs the dust. One that is active, one that is doing something in that place. And so today, deacons do mighty things. They do good things in this house. They serve as they should. Originally, it was not a designated position of authority, but of service. But here's what Jesus said, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And so they were to be a servant for the Lord. Let me say, if you're not up to serving in the little things that are often behind the scenes and not out of the spotlight, you have no business being appointed a deacon. If you're not willing to do the little things, you are missing the boat. And so we recognize they were to serve. Thirdly, deacons are to support the preaching of the word. Again, verse 2, and the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Simply put, the deacons would form a partnership with the apostles, or in this case with the pastors, and they would minister together. They would take care of all the things that needed to take care of so that those guys could study and pray the word of God to deliver that to the congregation, that great things may take place. Let me tell you about preaching. You may not think it's a big deal, but Judgment Day comes every Sunday for the preacher, I'm telling you. Every Sunday is Judgment Day. And I don't know about you, the rest of you guys may preach out there, but I'm telling you, I want every one that I preach to be the best I've ever done for the honor and glory of God. I want everyone that I preach to simply to recognize, hey, this is done for God and it makes a difference in the lives of people. Everyone is important. And so they formed a partnership with those guys, those apostles, that the word would do great things. They would be the servers of the tables that would grow to serve in every area. And so they were chosen to be partners that the ministry and the preaching could be accomplished together. That is the reason for the deacon. But now there's the rules for selecting the deacons. It will be a two-part process. The apostles would ask the people to look out among you to select some people, and they'll give some testimony or some criteria there, to bring before the apostles, and the apostles would appoint them over this business. And so the congregation would look around and say, well, this guy and this guy and this guy, and they would bring them in and bring them forward, and the apostles would look at them and lay hands on them and appoint them over this business. And so notice Acts 6, verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men, notice this, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. Now, they're going to do that in Acts 6, 5, and 6. I'm not going to read all that. But they did those things. They appointed those guys. They looked up there. Notice, I'll just read the end of verse 6. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Basically, they were just... When they did the laying on of hands, it was not giving some magical power or anything. They were just saying, hey, I believe you are appointed for this. I believe that God is ordaining you to do this. And we give you our full trust and authority to do these things. Now, you may not think that's a big deal, but when Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, he says this, lay hands suddenly on no man. Lay hands suddenly. He said, so don't let this be something that's insignificant. Don't just say, well, he's a good old boy. No, there is a specific thing that they should fulfill. Matter of fact, if you go on and read 1 Timothy chapter 3, they give a great qualification for this. But let me tell you, sometimes we have people called to be deacons based on other things. And let me just tell you a few of these things I've seen throughout the years in different places. One, you may say, well, they're qualified because they're a regular church attender. It's good to attend church, but that does not qualify you to be a deacon or a servant in this capacity. It is not just based on a regular church attendance. Don't do it for the most popular, not part of the biggest family, best looking. I saw Matt, I thought we're safe here, amen. A good old boy or potential. Let's make Jim Bob a deacon and maybe he'll start being faithful to the calling that God has for him. Do not do that. And I think a couple of years ago when we preached that hard, and you recognize, hey, it is something that is serious before God. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Again, 1 Timothy 3:8-13 really gives some basic great qualifications. Going back to Acts 6, here's the three things we find. An honest report, that means he must be faithful. Honest is martyreo in the Greek there, and that's the word we get martyr from. In other words, when we think about martyrs, those that have died for the faith, they are faithful. So when he speaks about this, pick guys that are faithful, that are willing to die for the faith. Faithful to their family. Man, I would just tell you, don't fail at home. If you're going to fail somewhere, let it be at this place, not at home. Don't fail at home. Don't fail the family of God. Don't fail to finances. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, chapter 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. In other words, you better be careful with the finances of the church. I'm telling you, those guys deal with lots of money, and we need to make sure good people are there. Faithful in the foes of the church. There are going to be all kind of people on the outside bombarding the church with all things. But a faithful deacon stands firm and true to this calling and to what the thus saith the Lord says. Faithful to the unfamiliar. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 7, this is really the qualification of a pastor. But then he says likewise. So notice what it says. Moreover, he must be a good report to those which were out. In other words, for those on the outside of the church, those men in leadership should be a faithful picture of what God says is right. We need faithful guys. If you're going to live like the world, don't apply here. Leadership must stand up and be counted as right. I just wrote this down, so I'll read it. If you're a drunkard, brawler, and a womanizer, you need not apply. Amen. I'm just telling you, we need men of a holy standard. You say, man, it's hard to live like that. It's hard to live true. Romans says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You will never be perfect, but you ought to strive to live to the standard God's called you to live in. That's what those first deacons were surely all about. B, deacons were supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 again. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Simply put, the deacon must be surrendered to the Spirit of God. He must be surrendered to the calling of God. He must be surrendered to the moving of God. I'm telling you, if you're going to be a deacon, and you're going to have some situations where you just got to deal with, and you got to rely on the Lord to say, hey, do this and not do that. There's a lot of ministry opportunities that can only be done by this reliance of the Holy Spirit, surrendered and a steady reliance. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you've heard me preach on that, you recognize you've seen drunk people walking around kind of crazy and acting crazy because they were filled with the wine. Well, a man filled with the Spirit also walks around in a different, noticeable way, living for the Lord Jesus. Where people say, well, what's wrong with him? He's living for Christ. Why doesn't he do those things and those things and those things like the world does? Because he lives for Christ Jesus. Then deacons must have foresight, must have wisdom. Why wisdom? It takes wisdom to serve the body of Christ as a leader. Wisdom because it deals with church family problems many times. Look at verse 1. Wisdom when it comes to handling church money and its dispersion. Wisdom when holding on to confidential matters. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, don't have a double tongue. Man, you're going to, as deacons, hear about all kind of things sometimes in deacon meetings, and sometimes you've got to learn to have a confidential mouth in one sense. Do not share those things that should not be shared. And so we find there's a lot of things. Wisdom when it comes to talking and confronting people on behavior problems. I see today the church has become a place where anybody can come in and live any way they want to, and they're demanding to be accepted. I'm telling you, pastors and deacons need to stand up and say, we want you to come in. We want you to hear the Word of God. But just know the Word of God will confront sinful living. It must. And so those guys must be partakers in that. And wisdom when it comes to interpreting the Word of God. We need people like those deacons to see and hear those being preaching. Make sure those things are right. Well, let me move on. There's the reasons for the deacons. There's the rules for selecting deacons. But thirdly, there is the results of the deacon. Notice first what happens when these guys were used in the church. There's the proclamation of the Word increased. The proclamation of the Word increased. Notice verse 7. And the Word of God increased. Why? Go back to verse 2. The end of that verse says, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. The apostles spent more time in prayer and study. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, but study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Kind of remind you, it was a partnership again. It was not to give the preacher more time to go and do and this and that, but the more time to study and to pray. You want to know what's wrong with the church today? I'm telling you, the church overall, because at leadership, we don't study and pray as we should. For whatever the reason. And so we need that time. And so the word increased. They were preaching more and more and more with boldness and confidence, we find. Secondly, the population of the saved increased. Notice verse 7 again, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. I'm telling you, things took off. The preaching of the word of God went forth. It was convicting people, and people got saved by the thousands. Why? Again, because there was a partnership in the leadership. Things were provided, and the word of God went forth, and like I always prayed, the word of God, when read, does not come back void. God used this in a tremendous way. Multitudes were getting saved. But lastly, the praise of the deacon increased. If you go to 1 Timothy 3:13, after he names the qualifications, he says this: for they that have used the office of the deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. They have purchased themselves a great degree in one sense. They have purchased something that cannot be taken away from them. You know, let me just say this, and I've said this a bunch of times. Preachers come and go. I'm just telling you, preachers come and go. But godly deacons many times stay the course in the church for not just 10 or 15 or 20, sometimes for 50 plus years. That's why it's so important to get godly leadership, especially deacons that'll stay the course. Again, guys come and go all the time that are pastors. But I'm telling you, when you serve like you should, when you live like you should, when you do as you should, when you invest your lives in others, man, what a great ministry it does. And people will simply lift you up and hold you to high esteem. Why? Because they recognize that you love them. I wonder about our lives today. I wonder, are we people that are called to be faithful? I'm telling you, and I know I'm preaching about deacons, but this is about everybody. Are you living a life of honest report, full of faith in the Holy Ghost and of wisdom? That's why these guys did. Let me tell you about a man that had a desire to live right. Have you ever heard of Hank Greenberg? The year was 1934. He played for the Detroit Tigers. And they had not done well for a long time, but they were in a position to win the rest of their games and play for the championship. But one of the games scheduled, which was very important, was on the day of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, and he was a Jewish man. And so he made a commitment: I'm going to honor my religion and my faith and not play that day. Well, you can imagine the town was upset. They were mad. They called Hank Greenberg all kind of things. That you can worship on the Day of Atonement every year. It happens every year. But this may never come again. And yet he held true to his belief and sat out. They did lose that game, but later, after cooler heads prevailed, here's what somebody wrote. They wrote a long poem, but here's just one stanza in there, a couple of stanzas. He says, came Yom Kippur, that's the Day of Atonement, a holy fast day, worldwide over to the Jews, and Hank Greenberg, and to his teaching, and to the old tradition, true, spent the day among his people, and he didn't come out to play, said Murphy to Mulrooney, we shall lose the game today. We shall miss him in the field. We shall miss him at the bat. But he's true to his religion, and I'll honor him for that. Let me just tell you, the world wants to see a faithful people. And there's no better place to be faithful and right here in this house, to stand firm and fast, and then to leave here showing that God is true and real, exists, and God has called us to serve him. Maybe here today, I'm telling you, God's calling you. It may not be for a deacon, but be a servant. And it all starts with faith. If you've never trusted Christ Jesus, why not let that begin today? In a minute, we're going to have an invitation. We want you to come forward and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. Let your walk of faith start today. Maybe you've done that and have gotten away from the faith. Turned your back on the Lord maybe, or just kind of taking a detour. Why not make a public commitment and say, I will simply come back. I will rededicate my life. Maybe at this altar you want to kneel and pray, because your life has not been like it should be. Maybe it's church membership. You said, I need to be in this place to serve the Lord. You come, we'll take you just like you are. Whatever it is, let it be said about your life that you've honored God and living for him, and you started this day. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment, think about your life. You may not worry about what others think about you. That's good. That's fine. That's true. But I wonder what the Lord thinks about you. And what He thinks about you should be what others think about you. So why not today get right with God? Why not today trust Him? Why not today follow faithfully in the steps that Christ laid out for you? God's calling. Don't turn back. Why not follow the thing that Christ has laid down for you to trust in Him? God's calling you, come. Father, we come before you. We say thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for this day that we are ready to ordain Matt. And Lord, for those that need to make a turn in their life, let that be the day too. Lord, I pray that you bring conviction, guidance, and leadership to all of us. Help us now in the name of Jesus. Amen.